Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today's contemplation is for everyone, really. Let's get started. Jesus came as a teacher. Of course, he came first to be our Savior, but what he did during his entire public ministry was teach. Of course, he was a healer and prophet and other things as well, but foremost, he showed himself to be a teacher. And his followers were called disciples, which means learners. And he practiced a perfect style of teaching, which we can also see throughout all of Scripture. That is, every lesson contained more than what was obvious on the surface. It, or they, required you to think, to engage, and ponder, to really understand. And there were some things that his learners just didn't seem to learn, or at least sink in. Nevertheless, Christ was so patient with them. You know, I've been a teacher. I know it's tempting sometimes just to say, "What are you doing in this class?" But Jesus didn't do that. One thing the boys just couldn't let go of or understand was this notion of greatness. Of course, greatness or being the greatest can apply to earthly things such as size or age or intelligence or talent or fame and on and on. And it seems like they were always arguing amongst each other who would be the greatest. Clearly, they weren't learning what God wanted them to learn from observing and hearing his son Jesus. We read that even near the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus said to them, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." Matthew 23:11. Because over and over again, they disputed with each other. Like in Mark 9:34, "But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest." Or Luke 9:46, "Then a dispute rose among them as to which of them would be the greatest." Again, and Luke 22:24, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Even James and John approached Jesus and asked to be enthroned on his left and right in his kingdom. Wow. But they couldn't agree with each other because they were not considering the display of Christ before their very eyes. At one point, they came to him with this perplexing issue. It's in Matthew 18. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom?' And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Now, to be fair, every human being is tangled up in this issue. Greatness or being the greatest. We either strive for it or think we deserve it or think we absolutely do not. But in all cases, its specter haunts the human psyche, and the flesh taunts us with it as well. Politicians revel in it. Celebrities revel in it. Preachers revel in it. Everyone except one, the child. No, not teens, but little children. And it's absolutely critical for us to get it, to understand why. Jesus told the boys that they weren't even in his kingdom yet, and they wouldn't enter unless they changed, fundamentally changed. They had to become like little children. It's the same message, essentially, that he gave to the teacher of Israel, Nicodemus. Remember? To him, he said, "You must be born again," or literally, procreated from on high. Here, he clearly implied to the boys that the need of change was humility. Without humility, they could not enter. In fact, he says, they could by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So we can conclude that being born again requires humility. Doctrine won't do. Neither curiosity will cut it, nor education on it, nor birthright, nor donations, nor affiliation, nor any of these things. It's childlike humility. And that's key to the whole issue of greatness in heaven, because its antithesis, pride, is the foundational sin of humanity, which means that you simply cannot enter by any effort of your own, because everything will be polluted by pride somehow. It takes a divinely originated change in you that you can ask for but never accomplish on your own. And then comes the kicker. Jesus finished with it. Remember? He said, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You see, humility is the key to conversion, the key to entrance, and the key to greatness in the kingdom. According to human perception, which of course is fouled up by sin, it's the opposite of what we would expect. In addressing the boys during one of their disputes on greatness, in Mark 9:35, he said, "He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Now, this was not a warning of discipline, but rather a promise of experiential training. Who is the greatest in heaven? Think about it. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Are you hearing him? Now, may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.